If you will, turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're beginning by looking at verses 20 through 23. The title of the message this morning is The Upside Down World. The Upside Down World. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 23. If you would, please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 20. The upside down world. Isaiah writes, and this is about 700 years before Christ, and says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise." And notice how this connection between calling good evil and evil good. Verse 21. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Let's go in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. As we just mentioned, every time we open your word and begin to read in context, to read it for what it actually says, God, we find conflict. We find conflicting ideas with my ideas, the ideas of the world around me. And God, what we've read this morning is no exception of that. In fact, it is stating it explicitly. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Who give darkness for light and light for darkness. God, we recognize that there are conflicting ideas that I want to look at closely this morning, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. That God, this battle, as we were singing about earlier, that this battle belongs to you, and this battle goes way deeper than anything, any war that can be fought in this world, any geopolitical struggles or civil wars. It goes way deeper than that. It is way more complex. It goes deeper than just bullets or missiles or nuclear weapons. It goes way deeper than that, the battle that we're fighting. And it's going to require wisdom. We cannot fight it by conventional means. The weapons of our warfare, as Paul said, are not carnal. They're not swords. They're not spears. They're not guns. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And every idea, every imagination that exalteth itself against God. Father, I pray that you would give us that wisdom to show us how to fight this battle that you've called us into, that we are engaged in here in this world. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation. We know it's not always easy to hear, but we always need to hear what you have to say. Even though it causes conflict, even though it causes us to have to think and to struggle, God, we need to be confronted with your word, with your testimony to us and to this world. We thank you, God, for this time together. We pray your blessing upon it now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. There's a science fiction series on Netflix called Stranger Things. It's come out, I guess, a few years ago now. And part of the story within this series, part of the storyline involves a world outside of our world. This world outside of our world is called in that series is called The Upside Down. The Upside Down. It's like a parallel universe that's just like ours, except it's dark. It's kind of the way the imagery looks is you'll see this almost a split screen where it's, if you can imagine this room and how it looks right now, lit up and everything, but then imagine it in a split screen and it's gray and it's dark and there's things overgrown and basically it's this world that's just like our world, except it's dark, it's dead, it's violent, it's filled with monsters. And those who fall out of this world, and that's where kind of the series is about, this portal that gets opened between this realm, this world, and the upside down. And those who go from this world into that world, fall out of this world into that world, don't survive. I find this concept really interesting. As I see this, you know, this isn't Christian at all, it's secular. But as I see those things, you see these concepts, you think, where did that concept come from? How did that enter someone's mind? A parallel universe. A world outside of our world. I find this concept interesting. The reason I find it interesting is because I believe there really is a world outside of this world. That's a science fiction series. I don't think that's fiction. I think that's real. I believe as we speak right now, there is a world that is parallel with our world. In existence at the same time, there is a world outside of our world. I believe that that's true. I believe there really is a world outside of our world running alongside of us. And actually, our world is within another world. It's not just parallel, but it is our world is contained within another world. But here's the scary thing about that world. Do you know what's so scary about this world that I think it really exists? This is not fictional, that it really exists. Do you know what's so scary about that world? Is that it's right side up. Why is that scary? Because where does that leave us? If that world's right side up, where are we at? Where are you sitting at this morning? We're in the upside down world where evil is good and good is evil. Where light is darkness and darkness is light, as described here by a real prophet who really lived in human history, as he is describing here. Where evil is good, where darkness is light. A violent world. Is this world violent? A violent world where no one survives. Do you expect to be here 100 years from now? You won't. This is a world of death. Everyone dies. Some die violent deaths. But everyone dies. No exception in this room. This is a world of death. That's where we live. A violent world where no one survives. That's our world. You know, real things happen in this world that you can't even depict in a movie. You cannot depict it. If you depicted it in detail, it would be criminal. Things that happen to kids, if you put that in a movie, you would go to jail for putting that in a movie. That's how bad it is. But that's what really... We can't even replicate it fictionally. That's how bad it is in reality. Do you know how bad this world is? I mean, we sit here and we get somewhat insulated from it. No one in this room, including myself, can imagine what this world is capable of. How bad this world is. And you know, again, Jordan, you're being negative again. I'm not going to feel good when I leave here. But I'm telling you the truth. We have to deal with the truth. If you could see into the world of human trafficking, you would be so disturbed. You would never look at this world the same way again. But it's there. It's real. That's part of our world. We can turn a blind eye to it and pretend like it doesn't happen, but it's there. And it's worse than what any movie could depict. There, any scenes dealing with that subject, they have to cut away and just imply what happens because they can't show it. That's how bad it is. And it's happening in reality every single day. That's this world. This world is upside down. So it begs the question, how did it get this way? Where did our upside down world come from? Well, actually, that's a good question to ask. You know, here's the question. Where does evil come from? We recognize evil is not the way that it should be, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest questions in pertaining to God, to creation, is the origin of evil. Where does evil come from? And really that's what we're saying is, how did it get turned upside down? How did wrong things begin to happen? Where does evil come from? How did this world get so upside down? How did it get this way? Where did our upside down world come from? Everything in us screams as we watch the news, as we experience things and stuff. Everything within us screams and says, it shouldn't be this way. Why is it this way? It's not right. Things are off. And that's an authentic, that's a true emotion and response to things we see going on around us. Where did our upside down world come from? Well, actually, we're given the history of how it happened. It was created right side up. But we turned it upside down. In a rebellion against the Creator, its Creator, our Creator. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 is a summary of this. Listen to what this says. And tell me if this is not exactly what I just described. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. This is a world of death. If God created it and God is good, how do you wind up with a world of death? When you take a world of life and of love and of good things and you turn it upside down, you get a world of death. That's what we have. We turned it upside down. Wherefore, as by humanity, we turned it upside down. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Rebellion against the Creator. Romans 5:12 summarizes what happened. You can read a more full account of exactly what this is referring to in Genesis chapter 1 through 3. A creation that was created that God Almighty, who with infinite wisdom, declared over it, it is very good. And then it became very bad. Describes to us in a very basic way how this happened. Our world of light was turned upside down, and what do you get? A world of darkness. And that's where we are. That's where we are this morning. But you know, the plot thickens even more. Because we're here in this upside down world, but the Creator of this world, who created it right side up, created it in light, though it was turned into darkness, created it with life, but now it's been turned to death. The Creator, who is the infinite being, one being, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, three persons, one being. Tries in three. The triune God. Un is in unity. Three in one. The Creator. Father. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Creator, the Son, enters this world. His creation. He entered this upside down world. Isaiah 53 describes it. He enters this world, and it says in verse 2, and he shall grow up before him. This is the Son entering into this world, taking on a created nature, taking on humanity, a human nature, though he's still divine. He has a divine nature and a human nature, uncreated and created. For he shall grow up before him. So he takes on this nature. This is the Son in his human nature growing up before the Father. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, because all the ground is dry here. But he's going to grow up as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's mind-blowingly interesting and fascinating that he came into the world. But then it is mind-blowingly fascinating and interesting how he came into the world. no beauty. You would expect glorious beauty, no beauty. Verse 30. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That is so strange. A strange thing happens. The Creator, the Son of God, shows up in this world. You would think, I mean, if you're the designer of this world, if you're the creator of this world, and you come into this world, you here in my mind, I would think he comes into the world and completely takes over. Because, and you see aspects in Jesus' life, he has the power to do it. He raises the dead. He has power this world has never seen. In my mind, when Jesus comes into this world, he's going to take it over. He does the exact opposite. He comes into this world and drops immediately to the rock bottom of this world. And we look at that and say, what just... Everyone who's anticipated, all the prophecies about him coming into this world, they're all expecting this reigning king to be king of all the world, to be the Son of David, an everlasting kingdom. And he enters this world, and instead of ascending to an eternal throne, he comes into this world and goes right straight to the rock bottom. Despised and rejected, no beauty that anyone should desire him. It is so strange. He comes into this world and he shoots straight to the bottom. He assumes last place. It's the exact opposite of everything we should anticipate. He goes immediately to last place, despised and rejected. Jesus, the Son of God, was despised and rejected. He was hated. He was hated from the day he was born, and he was unwanted. We mentioned abortion a few weeks ago. Aborted babies. That's Jesus' kind of people. As soon as he was born, was there not an assassination attempt upon his life? Hated and unwanted from the second he was born. He was hated. He was unwanted from birth. We know the story ultimately. As he begins his ministry, it's constant conflict. And finally, ultimately, he was beaten. And you got to think, you know, we can read over that, but people were punching him in the face. They were hitting him in the face. And he let them. What? I thought he was the Son of God. I thought the Creator doesn't allow creatures to smack him in the face. But he did. He was whipped. Like a dog. He was worse than a dog. He was whipped. He had his skin ripped off. Is that not historically accurate? This isn't fiction. This isn't science fiction. This really happened. It's a part of human history that cannot be denied. He was whipped. He was mocked. They laughed in his face. They spit in his face. They spit on him. And he let them. They stripped all of his clothes off of him. They put a robe on him to laugh at him. To bow before him, making fun of him. But then they ripped all of his clothes off, stripped him. And then they took him out on a hill where everybody could see him. And they took a nail and they drove it in his hand. And they took another nail. They stretched him out and they drove a nail into his hand. And then they took another nail. They crossed his feet over and they drove a nail through his feet. And then they raised him up for everyone to see. This is what we think of you. We hate you. Now die. Is anything I just said inaccurate? And he did. He suffocated. He ran out of air. He kept sinking down, pushing himself up. He ran out of air. He ran out of blood. He bled to death. He suffocated. He dehydrated. Blood loss. They took all the blood out of his body. They suffocated him on a cross, and they stood there and watched him, mocking him, saying, "If you're the Son of God, why are you on a cross?" And that's a good question. They hung him up for everyone to look at him until he died. When Isaiah says he was despised and he was rejected, he means he was despised and he was rejected. You could not treat anyone any worse than he was treated. We're upside down. Do you believe me? You're in an upside down world. People can watch this video, they can sit in this room and laugh at me and say, "Jordan, boy, you got a vivid imagination." We're in an upside down world. When Isaiah says he was despised and rejected, he means despised and rejected. He was the lowest of the low. The bottom. Where does 33-year-old Jesus of Nazareth, where does he finish in the rat race? What does he have? I mean, that's what this is all about, right? Just accumulate as much wealth as you can. Where does he finish in that race? Dead last. You can't be any absolute last place finish. That's where he finished. No one's behind him. Last place finish. The bottom, the lowest of the low. The last place finish locked in. And he voluntarily chose it. That should get everyone's attention. And we should ask the question, why? What? Why did this happen? What just happened? Give me some explanation of this. The angels were looking at this saying, what? What? The angels didn't understand this. They're on ready. We'll burn the whole place down. And they never get called on. We'll shred every one of them. You know, an angel did some shredding in the Old Testament. Sennacherib lies up outside of Jerusalem and says, "I'm going to destroy everyone in the city." And God tells Hezekiah, "No, they won't." And that night, it says the angel of the Lord went on a walk. What was the number? I might get it wrong. I think it was about 180,000. Is that right, Kenny?
That's correct.
180,000? Bill? Dead. The angel of the Lord just went on a little walk and said, you have a very powerful army. Then he finished his walk. He came back and said, "They didn't have an army anymore. Yeah, they're ready. You're going to spit on the Son of God? Just say the word. We'll shred them for eternity." But the word was never given. He chose it. He voluntarily, he told his disciples, "What you're getting ready to see is going to make absolutely no sense, but understand this, no man takes my life, I give it freely. I'm choosing what's getting ready to happen." You think, oh, you're sovereign, you can control everything, why would you let that happen? You're right, I'm sovereign, I can control everything, and with that sovereign control over every atom and molecule and subatomic particle in this entire upside down world, I'm going to let it happen to me. I'm voluntarily allowing it to happen. And now the question, why? Why? We go one step further. You want to make it personal? He calls you to do the exact same thing. He told Peter, "You saw what I've done? You see, you're going to see what I'm going to do." Tells John, tells Peter, "You do the same thing." Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Is this not exactly what Jesus said? "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He's saying, guys, there's room at the bottom. I'm going to take the absolute bottom position in all of human history. I am going to secure dead last place. Now, who wants to be right behind me at the bottom? Paul writes and says, we apostles are last as the off-scourging of the world. You know what he's saying? He's saying, we're the garbage of the world. That's what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians, he said, we are trash. We're the trash. Peter is trash. Paul is trash. John, you're garbage. You're the garbage of this world. Just like Jesus was the garbage of this world. It says in Hebrews, they took him outside the camp because that's where you go dump the garbage. That's what it says in Hebrews. He went and suffered outside the camp because you can't have some nasty, disgusting, bleeding, dying body inside the holy city of Jerusalem or near the temple. Take him out to the trash. And they did. That's the burn pile. That's the heap. Take him to the heap. He's trash. That's where you go and you're like a bed chamber or something like that. You go outside the city and you dump that out. That's where Jesus went. And that's where he's calling us to go. Come be the trash with me. The trash of this world. That's the offer. That's what it is to be a Christian. Hey, let's go to the bottom, everybody. Take up your cross and follow me. Let him take up his cross and follow me. He calls us to follow him in what he did. What's the meaning of all this? Are you ready for the secret? Are you ready for the key? Right now it makes absolutely no sense. But what I'm going to tell you in the next minute is going to make it all make sense. Listen to what else Jesus said. Go to the next slide, Julie. This is the key to everything. Why last place? But many that are first shall be last. And the last shall be first. That's the explanation. That's everything. That's the key to everything. Here's the full explanation. Verse 27 through 30. That's the conclusion. Here's the full explanation. Then answered Peter and said to him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, and this is so key, for my name's sake. That's critical. And as you're forsaking wife and mother and father, you're descending and you're dropping and you're dropping and you're losing all these things for Christ's sake, and now you're finding yourself at the bottom, for my name's sake, having fallen into the bottom, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What is the regeneration? I like that term. I think in other translations it says in the world to come. I like regeneration. I didn't like when I first read it, but I said that is exactly what it is. What is the regeneration? That is when our dead world, and your world is dead, and you're dead, everything's dead, when our dead world comes back to life. That is when our dead world comes back to life. That is the day of God, the day of the Lord, the judgment, the return of Christ. All those terms are synonymous. That is when God reclaims His upside down world. Don't you remember? We turned it upside down, but we don't own it. It's His world. That is when God reclaims His upside down world. And here's the key. And He sets it straight. He says, you turned it upside down. You're not in charge. I am. And He sets it straight. And guess what? When He sets it straight, and he turns it 180 degrees, guess what the dead last place becomes? Guess what the bottom becomes? First place. And the bottom becomes the top. Guess what happens to first place? It becomes last place. Guess what happens to the top? It becomes the bottom. Do you want to be part of the big 1% in America that has all the wealth and has all the money? I'm going to answer that for you. You don't. Because this little temporal world that we live in, it's upside down. And it's upside down temporally. It's going to be turned right side up. You mark my words. When God sets it right side up, when it gets straight, guess what last place becomes? Look at Philippians chapter 2. And see if this is not describing exactly what I'm saying this morning. This is the story. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's saying the Son of God, who is preeminent over everything, when he took on flesh, he went to the absolute very bottom, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. By assuming dead last place, and Christ with infinite wisdom knowing that God is going to set it straight, believing and trusting His Father, by assuming dead last, Jesus has secured the number one champion preeminent position in all of humanity. And He has exposed how upside down our world is. How our world gets absolutely everything wrong all the time. He has exposed the upside down nature of our world. In light of this, look at how Jesus' words make sense in light of what's to come. Look at Matthew chapter 5. These are statements that make no sense. They do now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They're on bottom. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The poor in spirit, those that are mourning, those are at the bottom, they're going to go to the top. Blessed are they, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, when they despise you, when they hate you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake you're blessed. How are you blessed? Because you're descending, and you're dropping. I think about our friends over in India that are having a tough time right now. And in my mind, the way I see this world, man, they're struggling, they're having such a hard time. We have it so good. I wish they could have it as good as we have it for now. But in reality, what's really happening is they're ascending. I can't even see them anymore because I'm down here where it's comfortable. But they're descending in this world, in this upside down world. They are descending. But one of these days, it's going to flip. And I'll envy the fact that they were persecuted for Christ, because that's going to turn to their exaltation with Christ. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask Bill and Tor if they would to come. So what do we do? Do you believe what I'm saying this morning? Jesus bet his whole life on it. Everything he did, every decision he made, he bet upon this thing being set straight. That it's going to happen. He bet everything on it. He said, here, take my clothes, take my blood, take my air, take my dignity, take it all. Because as you think you're driving me lower and lower and lower, you're raising me higher and higher and higher. The Son of Man must be lifted up. That's almost a play on words to say that all men shall come unto Him. For the Son of Man to be lifted up, well, they lifted Him up to crucify Him, to make Him a spectacle to the world. They didn't know that they were lifting Him up and exalting Him, because the more they drove Him down, the higher He'll be exalted. Do you believe that this is true? If you do, I'll know it immediately. Because this whole world is doing this. Everyone's trying to climb and claw their way to the top. When you really believe this, you stop. You say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to the bottom. You see, we're trying to climb to the top when Jesus just passed me going that way. And now I'm thinking, I need to change direction. I'm going with Him. It will change. The idea that you can be a Christian, it changes nothing, is absolute buffoonery. It's insane. It's not even knowing what words mean. When you become a Christian, everything in this world is going this way. When you become a Christian, you say, no, I'm going that way. Pride, exaltation, notoriety, fame, all these things, riches, wealth, all these things, and you say, I don't want any of that. I want to follow that one who is despised and rejected in this upside down world. It will change everything. So what do we do? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 summarizes it well. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Do you understand? The person in this room who is suffering the most could have the greatest glory. The more suffering is more glory. Less suffering is less glory. Because if you only suffer this much, when this thing flips, you're there. But when you suffer in this life, it is a tremendous opportunity. Blessed are you when you suffer, when things don't go well, when things fall apart, when things are hard, blessed are you because it's driving you down further. One of these days God's going to show up and it's all going to stop. And He's going to come and He's going to turn it. And the more you've suffered for Christ and His sake, not just beating yourself up, not just some religious activity, not... Again, when you're doing that, when you're doing these religious things where you're beating yourself to try to, you're starving yourself, something like that, you're doing the same thing. You're trying to climb in religion. I'm talking about following Christ. Where Christ is the center of this thing. That we are going to the one who condescended to men of low estate. That we're following Christ in His humility, in His humiliation, in His humbleness. Humble yourselves, therefore, to the mighty hand of God. Believe what He says when He says, when I show up, I'm going to reverse it. Do you believe that? If you do, you'll humble yourself. If you don't, if you say, yeah, I do, but you continue to try to climb and you're just like everybody else, you're a liar. You're a liar. If you're trying to climb the ladder and be better than everybody else, and you're in the same competition with everybody else, you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. When you really believe this, you're going to humble yourself. And you're going to want to serve others and put others ahead of yourself. So what do? We repent. We change direction. We recognize the fact this morning that this world is upside down. In an upside down world, we want the bottom, not the top. We follow Jesus to the bottom in humility. Everything I'm saying this morning is what He told us. We read that and say, I believe You. I believe what You're saying. I trust You that this thing is upside down and you're going to straighten it out. You're going to turn it right side up. And because of that, I'm going to follow You in humility. Believe Him, trust Him, and repent of our pride and selfishness. Self's up here. Are you going to be selfish? Is it all about you? Or is it about Christ who's down here? You've got to choose. You're going one direction or the other. As we stand, as we sing,